Will the House come to order? Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
33 members present.
We have a quorum present to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader?
Mr. Speaker, Representatives Hurley and Cato are here, although they're excused to a plain time. Representative Adams is excused from the call.
Our chaplain today is the Most Reverend Michael Kenny. Would the members please rise for the invocation?
I would like to take this opportunity of extending a somewhat belated welcome to all of you to Juneau, those of you who are not resident here, and it's a pleasure for me to pray God's blessing on your work this session. So let us pray. O God, our loving Father, one of the greatest concerns of our society, and therefore one of the heaviest responsibilities entrusted to the men and women of this house, is providing for the welfare and safety of our children. Pour out upon all who are here the fullness of your Spirit. Give them the wisdom and foresight needed to enact legislation and promote programs that will protect the youngest members of our community from abuse and exploitation. Provide for their health and education, and create an environment in which they can grow to reach their best potential. Help all of us to realize that while children are the immediate concern and responsibility of their parents, these little ones are persons in their own right and deserve the care and support of us all. Amen.
Representative Larson, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Ewling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer most appropriately be spread on the journal.
Are there any objection as to having the prayer spread upon the journal? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Would the clerk at this time please certify the journal for the 26th, 27th, and the 28th legislative day?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 26th, 27th, and 28th days in House Supplement number 81.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the journal for the 26th, 27th, and 28th days in House Supplement 81 be approved as certified.
Are there any objections as to the correctness of the journals? Hearing no objections, the journals stand approved. Do we have any guests for introduction today? Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, I have some close-up students from my district. With their teacher, Sarah Stickle, Michelle Galino, Nikolai Johnson, and Nathaniel Hall. I'd like you to welcome them all here. Okay. While I still got the floor, Mr. Speaker, maybe my galleries are mixed up. I might have had bum information. But anyway, for student leadership, I have the pleasure of having Barb Carlson, Linda Green, Sam Tawarik, and Laura Degnan from my district. Welcome.
Representative Thompson. Representative Gull.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. A group of students and teachers today also. From CAKE, and I'd like you to stand as your name is read, please. From CAKE, we have teacher Dan Roop, and with him are students Marty Nanook and Lloyd Davis. And there they are. And also from Yakutat in Gallery A, I believe, is Louis Yannotti with his students Patrick Bamba and Charles Russell. Please help me welcome them.
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have two students here. I have Stephanie Kopas, a constituent of mine, and Lisa Strotzmo, a constituent of Representative Davis's.
Representative Hurley.
Valerie A., a constituent of Representative Larson and mine. Diane Welch of Wasilla with the Student Leadership Program.
Representative Rieger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce to the body in Gallery A, a student in the Student Leadership Program from Service High School, a constituent of Representative Pettijohn and myself, Tina Payton.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also have a guest visiting from Homer with the Student Leadership Program, Julie Bruner.
Representative Sund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As some of you are aware, it's an annual occurrence for the Ketchikan area to send a pretty large delegation to meet with us from the city, the borough, the chamber, city of Saxman, and the school district. And we have a few of those members with us today for introduction. I'd like to introduce them to you. In Gallery A, we have Mike Cruz, who is the vice mayor of the borough, Daryl Hargraves, the superintendent of schools, Kate Troll from the borough assembly, and Georgia Scannis from the city council, and representing the Chamber of Commerce, Jim Robbie. Thank you.
Representative Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today we have two students from Fairbanks in the close-up program, Tina Egan and Lisa Stratzman.
Representative Herman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have close-up students and teachers from the King Cove School District. There's Dave Sheffield, the teacher, Corey Larson, the student, Sherry Gould. And from Lake and Peninsula, John Sandage is a teacher. And in the student leadership program, we have Kurt Jannings and Sonia Bakken from NACNIC.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have three people that I'd like to introduce today. And first is a student leadership program from Delta, John Abreu. The other one is an RSVP student that's going to be down here working with me for 2 weeks. It's in Gallery B, standing with my aide from Glen Allen, Jack Goddard, Chris Weiner from Anderson. Weimer, I got it. Okay. And the other one is a young man that come down here from Eagle, and the name is accurate. His name, and I'd like to have him stand, is Daniel Boone.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also have some students and teachers down. If they would stand, John Betters, who's a teacher at North Pole, Yvonne Betters, Becky Allen, and Tina Morris.
Representative Kopanen.
Yes, I forgot to introduce our guest page, Nicholas Spetzer, and his father, Jerry Spetzer, in Gallery A.
Representative Porchot.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I'd like to introduce a constituent of mine and Representative Martins, and now a close neighbor of Representative Martin, Laurel Murphy.
Representative Ringstead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hope we don't miss anybody here today. We've got an awful lot of the students down, but we've got another one down from Fairbanks in the Alaska Leadership Conference, Linda Lowry.
Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Miller and I have two constituents who are with the Student Leadership Program, and I believe they're both in Gallery A, Katie Henry and Josie Ratcliffe.
Do we have any further guests for introduction? Representative Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Phillips and I have a constituent here from Anchorage on this close-up program, Terry Ballard.
Any further guests for introduction? That brings us down to messages from the governor.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate adopted the following citations, and they are transmitted for consideration. Honoring the Anchorage Community College by Senators Sturgiluski, DeVries, Vic Fisher, Abood, Fakes, Rohde, and Halford. Honoring Robert Hahn by Senators Fakes and Sturgiluski. In Memoriam Paul Mason by Senators Kelly and Halford. In Memoriam Genevieve Evangeline Sobolev by Senators Ray, Eliason, Sackett, Ziegler, Zharoff, Rohde, Vic Fisher, and Coghill. Representatives Duncan, M.M. Miller, Grusendorf, and Gall. Honoring Delta Junction Eagle Scouts by Senator Coghill and Representative Schultz.
Those citations will be referred to rules for calendaring.
I have no further messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, we did miss someone. Could we return the introduction of guests?
Are there any objection to returning back up the calendar introduction of guests?
Mr. Speaker, in gallery, I guess A or B, one of the two, is the correspondent teacher from Juneau with the program that we introduced this morning, John Bridges.
Do we have any other communications that should come before this body?
We've received the 1986 edition of the Alaska Public Broadcasting Commission's long-range plan and a notice of proposed changes in the regulations of the Alaska Board of Fisheries and a supplemental notice of oil and gas lease sales, 48 and 48A, and these are all on file in the Speaker's office. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 10 Hess, requesting the State Board of Education to request local school boards to require the study of Alaska history and government in the schools of the state under consideration, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 10 Finance, with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Adams Chairman, signing do pass, Adams, Ringstad, Duncan, Larson, Porchot, Euling, Rieger, Frank, and Cotton. Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 10 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 57 Rules, Preferential Use of Alaska Agricultural or Fisheries Products under consideration, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 57 Finance with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches a letter of intent and a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Adams Chairman. Signing do pass, Adams, Ringstad, Duncan, Larson, Porchot, Rieger, Frank, and Cotton. Euling has no recommendation. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 57 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 122, State Affairs, placing Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys, Petroleum Engineers, and Petroleum Geologists in the exempt service and including the professional staff of the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission in the listing of members of the exempt service, under consideration and recommends it do pass and attaches a new zero fiscal note. Report was signed by Adams Chairman, signing do pass, Adams, Ringstad, Duncan, Larson, Porchot, Euling, Rieger, Frank, and Cotton. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 122 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had Senate Bill 192, waiving restrictions on the use of sick leave banks, under consideration, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. Report was signed by Adams Chairman, concurring Adams, Ringstad, Duncan, Porchot, Larson, Cotton, Euling, and Frank. Rieger has no recommendation. Senate Bill 192 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 233 Finance, adding obligations of the state or instrumentalities of the state to the list of collateral that may be used to secure certain investments of the Alaska Permanent Fund, under consideration, recommends it do pass and attaches a new zero fiscal note. Report was signed by Adams Chairman, concurring Adams, Ringstad, Duncan, Larson, Porchot, Euling, Rieger, Frank, and Cotton. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 233 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 331, Finance Amended, relating to Winter Olympic funding, and recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 331, Finance, with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches a new fiscal note. Report was signed by Adams Chairman, concurring Adams, Ringstad, Duncan, Larson, Porchot, Euling, Rieger, Frank, and Cotton. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 331 has no further referral. The Committee on Labor and Commerce has considered sponsor substitute for House Bill 466 relating to Alaskan resident employment preference and recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Navarre Chairman, concurring Navarre, Davis, Boucher, Pierce, Collins, and Kopanen. Hanley has no recommendation. Sponsor substitute for House Bill 466 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Resources Committee has considered House Bill 470, Release of Oil and Hazardous Substances, and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 470, Resources, with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches two fiscal notes. The report was signed by Schultz, co-chair. Signing do pass, Jenkins, Sun, Thompson, Herman, Wallace, and Cato. Having no recommendation, Pierce, Schultz, and M.W. Miller. House Bill 470 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Resources Committee has considered House Bill 527, Definition of Residency for Purposes of the Fish and Game Code, and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 527, Resources, with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. Report was signed by Schultz, co-chair, signing do pass, Schultz, Herman, Cato, Jenkins, Pierce, Sund, M.W. Miller, and Wallace. Thompson has no recommendation. House Bill 527 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to the introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Clara Kelly by Representative Binkley and Senator Sackett. Citation honoring Angoon Girls Basketball Team by Representative Gall.
They'll be referred to rules for calendaring.
I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 458 by Pinalberry, Cato, Maru, and Schultz. An act relating to the adoption of regulations and providing for an effective date.
This will be referred to two standing committees, State Affairs and Judiciary Committee. Representative Taylor, were you seeking the floor? Representative Gruenberg, were you seeking the floor? The clerk continue.
House Bill 555 by Cato and Zemanski, an act relating to the state toll facilities.
Standing committees, Transportation and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 556 by Ringstead, an act relating to reporting sales or shipment of alcoholic beverages and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 557 by Duncan and Clarkson, an act relating to interest on attorney trust accounts and providing for an effective date.
One standing committee, Judiciary.
House Bill 558 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor with a transmittal letter and a zero fiscal note. An act relating to revenue sharing and municipal assistance in providing for an effective date.
Community and Regional Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 559 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor with a transmittal letter and 2-0 fiscal notes. An act approving the sale of Cooperuk River Unit Royalty Oil by the State of Alaska to PetroStar Incorporated and Chevron USA Incorporated in providing for an effective date.
House Special Committee on Oil and Gas, Resources Standing Committee, and the Finance Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Taylor?
Yes, if we could, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move back up the calendar for introduction of guests.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, proceed, Representative.
Yes, in Gallery A, it's my privilege and pleasure today, along with Representative Sun, to introduce to you our borough chairman, Mr. Dave Crow, member of our Ketchikan School Board, Pam Yordisat, president of the Alaska Association of School Boards, Sherry Davis, assistant to the borough manager, Linda Zarek, the mayor of the community and village of Saxman, Jim Zwink, and also city council person, Georgia Scannis. I think she's up there, too. Maybe not.
Are there any further guests for introduction before we drop down? Okay, this brings us down to the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 21 by Gall, an act relating to home sites for veterans. Committee on Resources has had the bill under consideration, recommends it do pass, and that it be replaced, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 21, Resources, with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. Report was signed by Schultz, chairman, signing do pass, Schultz, Herman, Cato, Jenkins, Thompson, Sund, and M.W. Miller. Having no recommendation, Pierce and Wallace. The Committee on Finance has had the bill under consideration and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 21, Finance, with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches a new fiscal note. Report was signed by Ringstead, chairman, signing do pass, Ringstead, Zemanski, Euling, Larson, Cotton, Frank, and Duncan. having no recommendation, Rieger and Porchot. The Committee on Rules has had House Bill 21 under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 21 Rules with the same title, recommends it do pass, and they put in a new fiscal note today. The report was signed by M.W. Miller, Chairman, signing do pass. M.W. Miller, Grusendorf, Martin, Pinyalberry, Davis, Wallace, and Fuller. I have three committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Rules Committee substitute for House Bill 21 be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Are there any objection to the adoption of the Rules Committee substitute? Hearing no objection, the Rules Committee substitute has been adopted. We have now the bill before us in second reading, and we have one amendment. Would the clerk please read that amendment?
Amendment number one by Martin. Page 1, line 24, delete November 7, 1975, and insert in its place October 14, 1976.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment. Ask unanimous consent.
I hear objections. Representative Martin, a little latitude.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The idea of this amendment is to bring the bill into conformity with federal laws, which extends the period of becoming a veteran up to October 1976.
Are the objections maintained? Are objections maintained to amendment number one? Hearing no objections, amendment number one has been adopted. Do we have any further amendments before us?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Rules Committee substitute for House Bill 21, as amended by the House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Are there any objections to the advancement from second to third reading? Hearing no objection, would the clerk please read the title of that bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 21 Rules, amended by the Rules Committee, an act relating to home sites for veterans.
Is there any debate? Representative Maru.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to point out some discriminatory language in this bill to my colleagues. First of pardon me, Mr. Speaker. First of all, on Section 2, line 16 of page 1, it limits it to honorably discharged veterans. Now, that may sound great, but that conflicts with the existing statute. 3805940B4 states, has received an honorable discharge or a general discharge under honorable conditions. So therefore, we're creating another class of veteran, and we're discriminating against those veterans who receive general discharges under honorable conditions. Secondly, line 18, page 1, 180 days, a veteran only has to serve 180 days, so we have some six-month wonders who are going to be able to get the benefit of this, whereas that also conflicts with existing statute 3805940B3. A person has served on active duty in the U.S. Armed Forces for at least 2 years, which certainly sounds more reasonable to me. Thirdly, we are limiting it to people who served only in four conflicts or in certain periods of time, April 6, 1917 to December 1st, 1918, etc. Few of the veterans from those eras actually saw combat. Anyone who's ever been in the military knows that very few people get up on the front lines in the infantry. Most of the people are behind the front lines. This, by limiting it to these four specific sections or slices of time, we're discriminating against many other veterans, and I should emphasize the word many other veterans, some of whom saw actual unofficial combat. War was not declared, but they actually saw combat, or at least conflict of some sort. And this, again, creates further classes of veterans separate from what is already in law, 3805940, which states that only a person has to be on active duty in the U.S. Armed Forces for 2 years. I might also remind my colleagues of a couple of other things. One is that the Department of Natural Resources, in a letter dated January 25, 1985, prefers to keep the meaning of the word veteran as already in the statutes. Quote, because we recommend remaining with the existing definition of veteran in Alaska Statutes 3805940B, unquote, etc. And that's certainly what I've been quoting here. We already have the word veteran defined. We certainly don't need to define it further and discriminate against many other veterans who live in our populace. And I may also remind my colleagues that there are more veterans per capita in Alaska than in any other state. In my area, the Kenai Peninsula, there are more veterans per capita than any other area in the country. The fiscal note as put out by the Finance Committee is illegal. It states only a fiscal impact for fiscal 87. Alaska Statutes 2408035 says that it shall be for the current year and five succeeding years. I assume that is correct for fiscal 87, which would be an $86,000 loss in revenue times six for that year plus the next 5 years would give us a loss in excess of $500,000 over the next 6 years for this bill. Furthermore, in the attachment dated January 25, 1985, to the original fiscal note done by the Department of Natural Resources, it states, quote, as the program becomes more attractive, the percentage of veterans in the numbers, and consequently the net annual revenue loss, will increase, so that rather than having a $500,000 loss over the next 6 years, we may end up with $1 million loss or something even greater. In any case, to me, the worst part of this is that it discriminates against many veterans in our society who have served time but did not serve under those particular dates. It discriminates against veterans who have general discharges under honorable conditions.
Representative Gull.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Just a brief word of background on the bill before I respond to the previous speaker. Citizens have come to me over the last few years and suggested that if a person is conscripted into the armed forces during a period of conflict, he's put in a life-threatening situation, or potentially so, whether or not he actually goes into the field. Based upon that, it was suggested to me that a person who has served his country in that way and served our state should have an opportunity to acquire a small home site in order to live. So what the bill does is simply say that if a citizen already qualifies for such a home site, that we would waive the survey and platting costs which are associated to provide a small benefit. The dates that were mentioned by the previous speaker approximate the dates of declared war, and in some cases go beyond that, as the amendment by the minority leader just added to, actually. But the intent is to say that these are the periods recognized as periods of conflict and that those veterans would receive this special consideration. With regard to the 180 days, again, I refer back to the fact that we're speaking of wartime veterans, and although certainly there may be some situations where a person who was not really in jeopardy qualifies for the bill, I think 180 days during a period of conflict is not discriminatory against other veterans. With regard to the fiscal note, I believe that the cost is fairly well reflected in the various fiscal notes that have been prepared at something under $50,000 a year. Thank you very much, sir.
Representative Pinyalberry, were you seeking the floor? Would the House please stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at-ease, we had the bill before us in third reading and under debate. Representative Gull.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. During the at-ease, I've had an opportunity to discuss the bill with my colleagues. The original bill, House Bill 21, did not include the requirement for an honorable discharge, and that was developed during the committee process. After discussion, I would like to move that we move back to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment. That amendment would be the inclusion of general discharge with honorable conditions as in addition to the honorable discharge requirement.
Are there any objection moving back from third to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment? Hearing no objections, we are back in second reading. Representative Gull.
Mr. Speaker, I move amendment number one, which the clerk would read, amendment number two, and after it's read, would ask unanimous consent.
Would the clerk please read that amendment?
Amendment number two by Gull. Page one, line 16. After discharged, add, or with a general discharge under honorable conditions.
Are there any objections to amendment number two? Hearing no objections, amendment number two has been adopted. The bill is before us in third reading.
Question.
Any further debate? Representative Ewling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a brief question to the sponsor.
The member from the Kenai indicated that there was an $86,000 fiscal note which will be absorbed by the Department of Natural Resources over the next 5 years, and that would be $86,000 a year, which would be about $500,000 about $500,000. The question would be to the sponsor, how many veterans are we going to be affecting here, and how many people do they estimate are going to be using the program over the next 5 years? I support the bill, and I think it's a good bill, but I'd like to know how many people we're really going to be affecting here, considering the cost and the fact that it is going to be absorbed in a declining oil revenue budget in the next 5 years.
Representative Gohl.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. There has been a lot of discussion over the fiscal impact of the bill. Some of the fiscal notes that we've received showed a revenue loss of about $45,000, and this one here indicates a revenue loss of $86,000. There's a zero fiscal note with regard to the cost to the department, because it's believed that the number of applicants would be sufficiently few that the department could manage the burden under its existing budget. As far as stating an actual number, I cannot do that, but I can tell you the conditions under which the selection would be made. A person would first have to qualify for the homesite program. Having qualified for the program, they would have to take the option that requires them to prove up on the parcel by living on it for 35 months. Having proved up on the parcel by living on it for 35 months, if they are a veteran, and then if they are a veteran who actually served during a period of conflict, they would then qualify for the bill. It's been the opinion of most observers that it would be a fairly small number of actual people each year, and it was for that reason that no additional cost to the department was given by the Finance Committee. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 21, rules amended, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Did the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
37 yeas, 2 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 21, rules amended, has passed the House. We have some final action on some citations before us. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that all of the citations appearing on today's calendar be approved.
Are there any objections as to the adoption of the citations on today's calendar? Hearing no objections, the citations have been approved. This brings us down to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before this body? Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I have a whole bunch of excused absences, and I think I'll do them all now and try to get them out of the way. And I have most all of these in writing if the clerk doesn't follow the motion. I move and ask unanimous consent that the following excused absences be approved. Representative Collins, excused Tuesday, February 11, and from 3 p.m. Friday, February 14, until plain time Tuesday, February 18. That Representative Boucher be excused from the call of the House from 5 p.m. Thursday, February 13, through plain time Tuesday, February 18. That Representative Sund be excused from the call of the House 10 a.m. Friday, February 14th. All day Friday, February 14th through plain time Monday, February 17th. That Representative Pierce be excused from the call of the House from 5 p.m. March 14th until plain time Monday, March 17th. That Representative Pignalberry be excused from the call of the House from 4 p.m. March 27th until plain time March 31st, and from 4 p.m. April 25 until plain time April 28. That Representative Fuller be excused from the call of the House Thursday, March 6th through and including Monday, March 10th. That Representative Jenkins be excused from the call of the House from 4 p.m. Thursday, February 20th through plain time Monday, the 24th, February 24th. That Representative Herman be excused from the call of the House through and including February 21 through and including February 26. That Representative Navarre be excused from the call of the House. Let's see, this is for the entire committee, so I'll need to do this by individual. But I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Navarre, Davis, Boucher, Kopanen, Hanley, Pearson, Collins be excused from the call of the House upon adjournment February 21st through and including February 24th. That's for hearings in Anchorage. And I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Martin be excused from the call of the House from noon Friday, February 21st until plain time Monday, February 24th. That Representative Duncan be excused from the call of the House on February 28th and March 3rd. And I think that's all. And there will be a few people left on the floor to do business.
Are there any objections to those people that are requesting to be excused from the call of the House? Hearing no objections, those people are excused. Any further unfinished business? Representative Davis.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to bring up my reconsideration at this time, House Bill 318.
Would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 318, Labor and Commerce, by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to rights of injured state employees.
The bill is before us in third reading. Is there any debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 318, Labor and Commerce, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
38 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 318, Labor and Commerce, has passed the House on reconsideration. Any further unfinished business? This brings us to announcements of standing committees or special committees. Representative Gruen.
May we have a brief at ease, please?
The House, please stand at ease. Will the House come back to order? Before the at-ease, we're under announcements of standing committees and special committees. Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to announce that the hearing that is scheduled on the calendar for today at 4:30 concerning Executive Order 62, Transfer of Fire Service Training Program, and House Bill 473, Providing Alcohol to Persons Under 21, will be rescheduled until tomorrow at the same time.
Any further committee announcements? Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 494, which is on Wednesday's schedule for Labor and Commerce, has been removed from the calendar and will be rescheduled at a later date.
Any further committee announcements? General announcements. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, it's hard to believe that I missed an excused absence, but I did. I move and ask unanimous consent that we go back to unfinished business for purposes of moving another excused absence.
Are there any objections? Proceed, Representative.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Hurley be excused from the call of the House from 4:30 today, February 10, until 6 p.m. Tuesday, February 11.
Are there any objections to the person being asked to be excused from the call of the House? Hearing no objections, Representative Hurley is excused from the call of the House. Representative Clarkson.
Under announcements, Mr. Speaker. The Alaska Association of Realtors invites legislators to a reception on Tuesday, February 11, at Centennial Hall. That's tomorrow, 5:30 to 7 p.m. My note says, bring your invitation. In addition, Senator and Mrs. Frank Murkowski invite legislators to join them for coffee in the Butrovich Room at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Again, that's Tuesday, February 11th, and that's prior, of course, to the address by Senator Murkowski to the joint session. In addition, Taco Bell of Juneau invites legislators to a legislators' luncheon in the Legislative Lounge Wednesday, February 12th, between noon and 1. The Ketchikan Legislative Delegation invites legislators and their guests to join them for hors d'oeuvres and cocktails on Tuesday, tomorrow, the 11th of February, 5 to 7 p.m. in the Treadwell Room of the Baranoff Hotel. I think that's all.
Okay. On the announcement in relation with the Senator Murkowski speaking in joint session, I'd like the members of the chambers here to be present at about 9:50. So we can take the roll, go through the prayer and the invocation, and then we'll probably be at ease until the senator comes in. After the senator leaves, we'll go back so we can read reports across. We won't have a calendar, but we'll walk through parts of it so we can speed things up for Wednesday's session. Any further announcements? This brings us to special orders. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 9:50, Tuesday, February 11th.
Are there any objections?